Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The conference final matchups are set, but there's still one thing very much up in the air. Ping pong balls. Lots of them. Fates of franchise futures on the line based on the luck of the draw.
And that means that the number one pick belongs to
Tatum, Luka, Steph, Bam. All lottery picks, all reasons why those teams are now vying for a championship. And if your team isn't dancing, you can still enjoy the ball.
And good luck, everyone.
The 2022 NBA lottery, just hours away, live from Chicago. Oh, yeah, NBA Today, Windy City style, home to the Bulls, deep dish pizza, which isn't my favorite, but let's move on. The aforementioned 2022 NBA Draft Lottery. And tonight, in this building, the future of the NBA will be determined by the bounce of a few ping pong balls. We are here with you for the next 60 minutes, and we'll have the latest on the top picks. Plus, a comprehensive breakdown of tonight's Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 between the Celtics and the Heat in Miami. Welcome to NBA Today and the 2022 Draft Lottery live from Chicago. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by the NBA champions. That's Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski, and the host of the wildly successful Loaf.
Wow, wildly.
I can't say it.
Wow.
I know it's wildly successful.
But why do you laugh when you say that?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I just looked at your face. But this is Zach Lowe. Gentlemen, we have a lot
we're
to
off.
Get to today, and we're off. And for all of you draft fanatics like Zach Lowe out there, we're going to have plenty of lottery content, including the potential number one overall pick who is going to be joining us live on this set. That is Chet Holmgren. But we have to get started with the Eastern Conference Finals game, Woj. And Woj, since you're on the set, we spoke about this yesterday. Marcus Smart, what's the latest with him there?
Hey, Malika, it's increasingly looking like a game time decision for Marcus Smart with that midfoot sprain. Last night, there was a sense that he might just sit out game one to try to get right for the rest of the series, but I was told that there was some improvement overnight, but he'll take this, I think, right up until game time. You know, Marcus Smart's got a great threshold for pain, is gonna wanna play, and certainly for Boston, it's gonna be a vital part of this series and trying to beat Miami and get back to the NBA Finals.
Interesting, okay, game time decision. Kendrick, you touched on this yesterday, so I'm gonna let Richard and Zach Lowe, the host of the wildly successful Low Post podcast, take this away. Zach, I'm gonna start with you.
It's a big loss for the Celtics if he can't go. I mean, of all their perimeter players, they love to switch on defense. He's the best at switching on to big guys like Bam Adebayo, right, staying in front of them, fronting them. And Boston found something going a little smaller against Milwaukee when they needed to loosen up the offense. Every perimeter player you take out of their rotation makes it harder for them to get there. So they need – look, we're at the point – these are the four teams remaining, four teams last inning. You need to be as close to your best as possible to win these games.
No, I understand the idea of sitting him out for game one, right, because let's say, just using percentage, if he's 60%, but if you gave him three more days, he can be 80%, because you don't have time, because he could re-aggravate it in the game. You don't know. But for Marcus Smart, he's more than just their best defender. He's a quarterback. He's a communicator. He's an energy guy. All of those things go into defensive player of the year. So to lose him, even on the bench, and yes, they have won games earlier in this postseason without him, but not against the Miami Heat, not against the team that was a number one seed going into this postseason.
Well, the Heat isn't at full strength either. Miami's point guard, Kyle Lowry, he's already listed as out for tonight's game one. But Woj, what can you tell us about his availability for the rest of the series?
Yeah, this hamstring has been problemsome all through the playoffs. He's played five games. He came back in against Philly, didn't really play well in those two games. And so, you know, he'll get a couple more days of rest. He'll be out for game one. And I think one thing to maybe look for is if they are able to bring Kyle Lowry back in the series, do they maybe bring him in off the bench?
Interesting.
Ooh,
Perk,
yeah.
What percentage does Kyle Lowry need to be at? Does he need to be on the floor for the Heat to win this series?
No, he don't. I got Boston winning this series, but I think the Heat still could pull this off. I got this going seven games. You look at the depth that the Heat have, right? We think about Duncan Robinson. He played in the first round, didn't play in the second round. Victor Oladipo didn't play in the first round, played in the second round. Gabe Vincent come right on in. When you have a coach like Eric Spoelstra, sometimes it's not about the name on the back of the jersey. He's so great of a coach that he put guys in position to be successful. So, although Kyle Lowry, look, he's a great addition, his leadership and the things that he brings to the table, sometimes you can't replace, but at the end of the day, they have enough depth, they have enough bodies that Eric Spoelstra could put them in position to actually beat the Celtics, although I got the Celtics winning the series.
We know you have the Celtics winning the series. So, we talked about a couple of injured players. Let's get to the players that we know for sure are going to be out on the court tonight and hopefully for the entire series. Who is the most important player in this series overall? That's my question, RJ. I'm going to start with you.
Bam. To me, Bam.
Wham, bam, can wham, bam.
He is the most important, and it's because, really, Miami struggled offensively a little bit. And when you look at Bam, he's not only a creator, but he also is going to need to score. He's going to need to score, I think, between 18 and 20 a night. He's going to help create that offense. And the intensity in which he does, his dribble handoffs, his roll and replaces, creating havoc inside, hitting him on the roll and distributing, they're going to need more from him, especially if Kyle Lowry's not at 100%. If Kyle Lowry's not that dude, then Bam becomes their primary creator. I know Jimmy Butler can score, but all of these other guys, whether it's Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, some of these guys need people to create shots for them, and then that falls onto Bam.
Mr. Perkins?
I think it's Tyler Hero. It's Tyler Hero for the simple fact that if they have any chance, if the Heat have any chance at beating the Celtics, Tyler Hero is going to have to be that guy. We saw in the bubble, Tyler Hero was torching the Celtics.
And all season.
Don't interrupt me again, okay? But look, we saw what Tyler Hero did to them, and he was part of the main reason why they beat the Celtics 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so Tyler Hero, you know, he want people to put his name in a conversation with Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. He want people to put his name in a conversation with Luka Doncic.
Yep.
Here's his opportunity right now.
Well, there's a lot of distance between that and those conversations. I think what we're getting at is this. Number one, Tatum and Butler as the number one guys, they're going to bring it. We know that. Those guys are given, and we're going to count on them. If Kyle Lowry is out or limited, the Heat are at just a raw talent deficit in this series. They just don't have as much talent, which is why we're picking Bam and Hero, because they need their secondary players to have monster series. So I'm with RJ. I think it's Bam Adebayo. We know he's the linchpin of their defense. I think he needs to have the best offensive series of his career.
He's got a wildly popular podcast.
The best two-way series of his career. I think 18 to 20 may even be conservative for how many points they're going to need from him. They're going to need him to bully switches when he gets switches and all of that, and run the offense from the elbow and all that. I think they need him to have the series of his career to win this if Lowry is limited. So I'm going Bam too.
Yeah.
Coach?
Well, let's look at the importance of role players in this series. Robert Williams III for Boston, who missed the end of the Milwaukee series. Celtics were still able to win. I think his role, ability to score at the rim, to rebound when Miami switches. And I think for the Celtics, they feel like they were able to beat Milwaukee without Robert Williams on the court to finish the series. He was active in Game 7.
Yep.
They bought him some more rest for that sore knee. But Boston feels they're going to need Robert Williams playing at a pretty high level in this series to beat the Heat. You know that this Celtic team, who became the best defensive team in the league over the course of the second half, Robert Williams was a huge, huge part of anchoring that in the middle.
So we just heard, and I get it. I know you guys all wanted to take the analytical answers, the deeper dive answers. No one, literally no one, said Jimmy Butler
or those guys are stars.
We just saw Chris Paul. We just saw Devin Booker. We just saw teams that were stars on their teams just not show up. At the end of the day, they need to show up, and everything trickles down from there. They set the tone for everyone else. Richard's telling me I'm wrong.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying saying you're wrong.
I'm saying
don't interrupt
some,
me.
Some
what,
people,
I'm saying,
some
what I'm saying is with those guys, if they don't play, then there is no chance. If Jimmy Butler doesn't play well, there is no chance. If Jason Tatum doesn't play well, there is no chance for the team. That is fair.
Right, so that's why they're my answer.
Yeah, I mean, you have regular season players and you have postseason players. You have some players that heart pump Kool-Aid and some that pump blood. Jimmy Butler is one that pumps blood.
You notice how I don't interrupt anybody? You
know, yeah, but that's why you're so
that's why you're the host of the wildly popular Lopez podcast.
Why does she laugh so hard
on NBA Today?
We're
just hours away, Zach, from some ping pongs that will be changing the fate of multiple franchises.
Yeah, that's ping pong business.
That's coming up next. And one of those players we'll be talking about on draft night is Chet Holmgren, and he joins this show live shortly. Plus, our panel picks the player, not named Steph or Luka, that will impact the Western Conference Finals the most. Don't go anywhere. NBA Today continues after this.
Well, I wish we would have done it.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We did 2 years off. Remotivate us? Absolutely.
The Golden State Warriors are headed back to the Western Conference Finals.
This one feels good, but we know how tough the next round is going to be.
And the Dallas Mavericks are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Nobody picked us, so it was motivational for us.
This is my man, and I'm willing to rain. Try me, must be out of your brains. King blood, fill it right through my veins.
I always want that feeling to win a championship. How do I get that feeling back? Try me.
So we've been so busy talking about the draft lottery and the Eastern Conference Finals. We haven't even really mentioned tomorrow night's Western Conference Finals between Dallas and Golden State. The marquee matchup is Luka Doncic versus Steph Curry. We all know about Steph Curry's offense, but should we start calling him the Luka stopper?
Being the two-way player that you are, you know, on both ends, but when you're looking at film... When you're looking at
hey Raymond, you got
good, good, good job. Thanks for you worded that. That's not exactly what I emailed you, but close.
Yes, keep going.
I like, he's like, yeah, I'm a two-way player. Perk, what do you think?
I think he shouldn't set himself up for that. especially Luka, because they're going to pick on Steph, and he's going to have to slide those puppies. One thing we know, the way that the Dallas Mavericks play, they're going to search out. It's not about the bigs. It's going to be who is the weakest link defensively. And I'm not disrespecting Steph because he's got a ton better. He's just not ready for that smoke of Luka Doncic.
And look, we can be critical of players.
Yeah, we can be critical.
No, don't interrupt me. When I'm talking about Steph, Steph has improved. A guy that can get steals. You can be a great team defender, yep. A great communicator, great individually. Look, that's not his thing. That's not a knock. But we do know that they will target him. Go back to game 7, 2016. We did everything we could to put Steph in that pick and roll so that Kyrie had a one-on-one matchup with Steph. So Luka, and we watched him point. You get out. You come up here. But it's with great players. It could be LeBron James. It could be, it could be Jason Tatum, KD. They try and get the matchup that they want, and teams try and dance around it. But Steph is going to be guarding Luka, and they're going to try as hard as they can to do it. And I don't think there's anything to stop him.
We know that's going to happen. You guys did it. I always thought when you guys did it, it was never because Steph was a bad defensive player.
Sure.
It was because everyone else
was a really good defender.
An amazing defensive player.
Yes.
And Steph, he moves the, as Per calls them, the puppies. He always moves the puppies. He's got his arms out. He gets his hands on the ball.
Again?
His problem is just he's the puppies. his problem is that he's just kind of skinny, and guys like Luka can beat him up in ways that regular point guards can't. And that's what's going to happen in this year. And by the way, the Warriors' issue is it's not just going to be Steph. It's going to be Poole even more than Steph, that Luka's going to say, where is he? Bring him to me.
And what you do in that situation is you can bring up both of those guys. You can bring up Poole and Klay into a screen roll, and it's like, one of y'all going to have to guard him. One of y'all going to have to guard him. And then after that situation, now they might send double teams, but we saw the way that Dallas shot the ball. That's not exactly the answer. But you have to pick a poison. But to your point, it is not that he is not a quality defender. It's just that the other guys on that roster were elite. And the last thing, if you can take some starch out of his offense by beating him up, getting him in foul trouble, that was an old school NBA thing. If you have two fouls, if you have one foul, if you have three fouls, we're going to go at you because we know you're not going to foul. And if you do foul, then you're going to put yourself on the, on the bench. So they're going to go at him, hopefully to take some starch out of that movement offense.
Well, and we saw that a little bit in the Memphis series. Mm-hmm. Memphis, when Steph started getting one, two fouls early on, they started going at him more and more and more, and those stacked up a little bit. But I've been watching, ESPN's been on all morning, all the shows have talked about Steph versus Luka, what's this going to look like? So I want to do something a little bit different, and Zach, I want to start with you here. Richard, I'm going to compliment you. You did a great job breaking all that down yesterday. Stop that.
I didn't know you. I didn't want to see that.
No one
told me I was going to have to see it.
Yeah, right. There we go.
Nope, that needs to stop now. All right, I want to take this a different direction.
Please.
Who is a different direction from that? Who is the one player in this series that's not named Luka, not named Steph, that's going to have the biggest impact on it?
So I'm
going
to cheat and pick two, but you can really pick either one. To me, it's Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole. Because the Warriors, to win this series, I think they're going to need that blender offense to be at full throttle. The Mavericks are good enough. First of all, Luka's good enough. He's going to score on you. Their defense is good enough. They're going to take away a lot of the easy stuff. Mm. The Warriors are going to have to get the hard stuff, the fancy stuff, the handoffs, the split cuts where two and three of their guards are running apart and coming together and flying in all different directions, and the handoffs are flying. I think they're going to need to have a lot of games where two of the three guards, Steph, Poole, and Klay, have really good games, or all three of them have solid games.
Sure.
They can't afford bad games from those guys. I think they're going to need to look like the offense that just obliterated the Nuggets, and not the offense that looked kind of confused and scattered at times against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, okay, really quickly, I'm not going to give you two. I'm going to give you one, but I want to go back really quickly and talk about Steph and Luka. Hey, I know we're talking about Steph not being able to guard. Luka's not going to be able to guard anybody out there either. So let's just establish that really quickly. Now, the most important player to me is Draymond Green.
Okay.
For this reason. One, to your point, he's got to look to score. And it doesn't mean that he's got to be aggressive to score. To me, he's got to look for shots. He's got to at least, he's going to get open looks all night. And I know the Draymond. I've seen the Draymond in game seven. I know what he's capable of. So I want to see Draymond be aggressive, because that's going to open up things for Steph. That's going to open up things for Jordan Poole. That's going to open up things for Klay Thompson. And so for me, if he gets in foul trouble, and if you want to have him guarding Luka, then you could be in problem. And then it just, to me, Draymond is going to be so important from what he does on the defense. In. If he gets in trouble guarding Luka, that's going to hurt their offense, right? So there's just a lot of chess pieces that's going to go, and Draymond's the center of that.
You know what? I'm going to roll with Spencer Dinwiddie, right? If Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, have one of these series where he could average 20-plus, which he's capable of doing, I think the Dallas Mavericks win this series for the simple fact that we know what Luka is going to bring to the table. Brunson has shown us that he's a bona fide second option, how consistent he's been throughout the playoffs and the play of him even when Luka was out. But if Spencer Dinwiddie could come out, Spencer Dinwiddie could come in off the bench and do his thing, I think the Dallas Mavericks will win this series in great fashion. But if he doesn't produce and he doesn't average 20 points a night, I think they're going to get sent home.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I know it's fair.
This is going to be a test of how the role players play on the road as well. We saw that drastic up and down in the Suns series early on for players like Spencer Dinwiddie, Jalen Brunson. They brought it at home, but early on they struggled on the road.
And let me tell you, I know I grew up in Oracle, so I'm kind of a little bit biased toward the old arena. Chase Center is finding its way. We were there over the other day.
It's getting better.
It's an intelligent crowd. It's a tough place to play.
It's getting better.
All right. Still to come, though, on NBA Today. Perk, I hear you have a – it is.
That means they know the game of basketball.
I just asked.
All right. It ain't. Perk has a pep talk for Jason Tatum.
I do.
That's just minutes away. It comes with a hot take for the ages. So we'll see you when we return.
Here we go.
Hotter than my water right now, actually.
If you say something –
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So here are the odds to win the series and represent the East in the NBA Finals. But first, let's take a look at how we got here. Remember, Celtics game one versus the Nets, closing seconds. You remember this, Richard.
Oh, the little spin move.
It was beautiful. Jaylen Brown finds Tatum. Let's take one more look at this. I mean, this was a get off your couch, yell and scream play. Celtics win game one. They went on to sweep the series.
They swept?
You got out your push broom, remember?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead to game two. The Heat, the Hawks. On the other side of this, remember their first round?
Jimmy
Buckets gets it done. He scores 45 points in game two. The Heat win the first round series against the Hawks in a gentleman's sweep. That was five games. Kyle Lowry is pumped up about that. All right, so on to game six between the Heat and the 76ers. I mean, at some point, this just got real.
Yeah, we got it. Do we have to do this to Philadelphia fans?
Yes, watch it. Drink that in with your eyes, Philly fans.
Stop talking.
Even Jimmy is surprised.
Yeah, because he's like, wow, I just outworked their whole team.
All Jimmy Butler can say is wow, and then bye-bye. Close out the 76ers. Jimmy Buckets, 32 points. So onward, the Celtics, they take on the Bucks. This one was just an all-timer. Back to the Celtics. Facing elimination. On the road. Yes, sir. Tatum buries a big three, extending the lead to eight. Tatum was big when his team needed him most, putting up 46 points. They forced a game seven. And then game seven was spicy. We all know that. Back in Boston, Grant Williams.
He had a
spicy performance. Big game Grant. Put up 18 three-point attempts, making seven of them. Career-high 27 points. Celtics win game seven, advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Grant Williams says, yes, sir. All right, here's that graphic I promised. The odds to win the series and represent the East in the NBA Finals. According to Caesar Sportsbook, the Celtics, they enter at the favorite at minus 170, while the Heat are at plus 150. So here now with ESPN senior writer Brian Windhorst to break down game one even further. So the Celtics, they're playing their third game since the Heat last played a game, period, and they might be without the reigning DPOY in this one, too. Could fatigue play a role tonight, Brian?
Well, let me tell you something, Malika. Fatigue is playing a role with me, and I was in the same three cities in 5 days as the Celtics were, and I'm not running up and down the court, quite obviously. So the guy I'm really watching is Al Horford. Al Horford scored 30 points in 42 minutes in game four, and then he never had the same energy for the rest of the series, averaged 5 points the rest of the series. I would look for the Heat to try to go after him a little bit. It does help him that Robert Williams, after missing the last four games, will be back and expected to start. But definitely the Heat, especially in the late stages of this game, could have a rest advantage, especially playing on their home court.
So the Heat, they struggled scoring against the Celtics defense during the regular season. In your opinion, how can they reconcile that tonight, Brian?
Yeah, let's put a big giant circle around the bubble boy, Tyler Hero. Now, we remember when these two teams played 2 years ago up in Orlando, Hero was a difference maker. Hero had a 37-point game and basically the deciding game in the series, and he was just frankly not good against the Celtics during the regular season. Only shot 22% on three-pointers. This is a guy who is going to be the difference maker in the half court. The Celtics are one of the best defensive teams in the league. They're particularly good at defending the three-pointer. The Heat are going to need points, and they're going to need relief points from Tyler Hero. Look for him to be a swing player starting in game one.
Brian, thank you, my friend. Bringing it back on set here in Chicago. Gentlemen, you can use your analytics or the eye test to answer this next question, because in the playoffs, it's all about adjustments, mm-hmm. right? It's all about how you adjust. And so this is going to be a chess match between two coaches who we've seen their adjustments on full display all through the postseason. Are you expecting Ime Udoka or Spo to have to make those adjustments to get the leg up? And what are they going to do? Richard, I'm starting with you here.
I'm going to say Ime, and this is why. He has more adjustments to make. He has more options. He's got more weapons in his bag. He's got the healthier team. Like, you're starting with a Kyle Lowry. You're starting with a guy like Tyler Hero. Duncan Robinson hasn't really been playing much. So, in my opinion, I think, like, you know, the person that has more options gets to make more options. There's only so many ways that you can spin around this Miami Heat team, as great as they are. But the higher level you go, the better the team is that you're playing against. Sometimes you just don't have the options to pull out the bag. Just look at Milwaukee. They didn't have many options after Chris Middleton went down.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought if you have the you know, less bodies, then you have to have more adjustments. And
but you can't adjust if you don't have bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about your superstar bodies. Like, I mean, like, you still have personnel that you could do. Like, for example, Duncan Robinson haven't played. You could put him in. Like, I don't see what adjustments Ime Udoka could really make.
After so your answer is Spo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Zach?
I'm with Perk. I think it's Spo for the same reason. If you got less weapons, you might have to try more stuff. And I think two things I'm looking
at. You can't try more stuff. You can't keep shooting water guns at from different
is that
angles.
Shooting water guns?
Yeah, that's how you shoot a water gun.
Spo could rob a bank with a water gun.
Yes, he could.
Okay, Spo is that creative.
Yes, he could. That tickled you.
That tickled you.
So right in the armpit.
Two things for Miami. Number one, I think they got to look to maybe not run, but play fast, hit ahead after rebounds. If they get in a slog with Boston's defense, they're not going to score enough to win. And number two, I think Jimmy Butler's got to play like he played at the end of the Philly series, which is whatever attempts at mismatch bully ball Boston offers, and it ain't much, but Peyton Pritchard, Derek White, Daniel Tice, hunt those mismatches and just play bully ball or get to the line. That's their only chance to score enough points, unless Boston turns the ball over a lot. And I think that's the bellwether stat to look for.
I understand what you guys are saying. We're going to agree to disagree. I think the person with more options has more options. And Boston is fully healthy. They have all the pieces. So if all of a sudden Miami goes big or goes small, Boston can handle that. Boston or Miami doesn't have a lot of pieces to kind of mix and match, even though they have guys
but
they need to play.
You've seen Spo try every zone in the book, every rotation.
Yeah.
You know he's going to bust it out, even if it's from a position of weakness or adjustment. He's going to try everything.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
All right, you guys aren't ready for what's next. I promise you that, because we heard – Perk, I understand not only do you have a pep talk for Jason Tatum, but you also have something special up your sleeve?
I do. And look, being that I've spent
took off your glasses for this?
I did. You got a problem with
it? No,
hey, look, I'm going to get straight to it, okay? No interruption. Jason Tatum, look, you have a chance to have one of the greatest individual runs in NBA history. You already then gave a spanking to Kevin Durant. You already gave a spanking to the best player in the league and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now you're going against the Miami Heat, who's the number one team in the Eastern Conference. You get past this, and then you go up against a Luka Doncic or Steph Curry. No one can tell you nothing. And guess what? Somebody in that top 75, greatest player of all time, going to have to move to the side, my brother.
I don't think it worked that way.
Don't tell me how it worked. It's going to work how I want it to work. And this is how it's going to work. JT, handle your business.
He ain't lying, though. He ain't lying. If JT goes on that run and takes
and
down
win finals MVP?
Yeah, look.
That's a gauntlet.
Yeah, 100%. That definitely puts him in, like, the top seven player in the league conversation.
Oh, he's there now.
I'm just saying, that completes it. Like, there is no more conversation.
You need to see a little bit more.
I want to win a championship. Doing these things are the things that you can put him in. Like, understand that seven is thick, right? Like, when you start about Steph, when you start talking about Bron still, when you start talking about Giannis and Luka, when you start talking, like saying seven and he's there, that'll get it done. A championship.
Jason Tatum is coming for
Jason Tatum
spots.
Is 100%.
Oh, man. Well, Jason Tatum just went through Kevin Durant and Giannis. So.
Yeah, he had a great team. Yeah.
Coming up on NBA Today, we have a player who is joining us that I think is hopeful that they will be in the conversation with Jason Tatum, with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Come on up, big fella.
Come on up here.
We
come
have
on up,
Chet big fella. Holmgren joining us. Who will be lucky enough to land him? We'll talk to the Zag that's about to get the bag. You see what I did there? Next.
It's pronounced Gonzaga.
It's definitely it's Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
They're the Zags.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, live from Chicago. Tonight is the night that the future of the NBA will be determined by these bouncing balls. There are 14 lottery spots, but due to trades, only 13 teams have the chance for the number one pick. OKC actually has two picks in the top 14. So along with the Rockets, the Magic, the Pistons, they all have a 14% chance to get that top pick. Richard, you were a lottery pick. What do you remember from that night?
Oh, not much, to tell you the truth.
That's because you weren't there.
Yeah, not much.
You was a lottery pick and didn't show up?
Yeah, that's when back when teams used to lie about players and be like, oh, well, he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. Then I was the first player drafted that wasn't there.
Cherish the moment, bro. Don't, you know.
But, man, first of all, this is just a beginning part of the step. I enjoyed it. It was beautiful, you know.
All right, we'll
cherish the moment.
Yeah.
Cherish the hairline.
I wasn't there.
Here's ESPN's latest mock draft, according to our Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz. Chet Holmgren going first, followed by Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero. You can see the rest of the top five here. And speaking of the potential first pick, joining us now on NBA Today, we welcome in Chet Holmgren, the highest-ranked player on ESPN's top available prospects list. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
See, they're already talking up a big game. Your offensive game, defensive prowess, it was on full display when you were at Gonzaga. You had a freshman year where you had three games with at least 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 blocks. That's more than any Division I player had in their career over the last 25 seasons. So I know that prospects always say they don't really care where they go, but what is a team getting when they draft you?
A team, when they draft me, they're getting a versatile player, you know, that's affecting winning. And that's all I try to do when I come on the court is I just try to make winning plays. And I feel like that showed this year.
I know Kendrick has a question for you. What's going on, Big?
No, I do. Big fan and congratulations. I love the fight in you, right? You know, people talk about, you know, obviously you got the size, the length, but they talk about the physicality. But I'm like, hey, he's a pit bull. What are your plans, right, going into the NBA as far as putting on weight, you know, things to that nature, putting on muscle? Because you know, although you had
you
a fight,
can hang out with Perk for a week.
Nah, that's the wrong type of weight. That's the wrong type of weight.
Okay.
But I see your versatility, and you kind of remind me of Giannis Antetokounmpo when he first came in, and I watched Giannis put on 50 pounds of muscle. Is that a goal of yours?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a goal to put on weight, but, you know, add strength. And with that, you know, I think the right weight will come with that and, you know, just continue to get stronger. And I feel like that'll translate into a lot of things and how I play. And, you know, just keeping getting stronger, you know, as any young player coming into the NBA needs to do, just continue to get stronger. And I think that'll help me out.
Chet, what part of your game do you think is going to be more on display in the NBA than it was even at in college?
I feel like my ability to create my own shot and, you know, score on my own will definitely be on display for sure.
Big Rich?
My thing is this. They ask every player all the different questions. What is the one thing that you need to work on, that you believe that you have to improve on for you in your brain to become the player that you want to become?
My shooting. You know, I feel like I'm already a high-level shooter from all parts of the floor, but at the end of the day, I feel like I have to take it up a whole nother notch and take it to another level.
Are you talking about like 40%? Because you can, there's goals within shooting. Like, I want to, you know, knock down
153. I think I can be a 50-40-90 player.
Okay, that's what
I want to
hear.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
And look, I want us to come back to this point when your career is over with, right? I want to know, what are your goals, right? Like, when your NBA career is over, what do you want to be remembered as an all-time great? Like, do you have plans on winning MVPs? What is your goal?
Damn, it's aggressive.
No, I want to know his individual goals, because if he tells us his goals and he accomplishes his goals, guess what? We can revisit this moment 15, 20 years down the line and say he said it today on NBA Today.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to shoot for anything less than, you know, the highest. So, and at the end of the day, you know, I've been a winner throughout my career. And, yep. you know, I want to be able to say that, you know, I won at every single level. So winning an NBA championship, you know, is definitely, you know, my number one goal above anything else, above any personal accolades or anything like that. So.
Good answer, man. God, he's been, whoever prepped him, man, did a great job.
Yourself. What?
It's all natural, man.
We all, there's no we all nah, y'all, come on, man. Chet, I respect it.
Before we let Chet go, I am curious. If there is a player, specifically a big man in the league, that you are just looking forward to going up against?
There's a lot of players that I'm looking forward to playing against, but, you know, I'm going to keep that one to myself.
Oh, see, that's a little internal motivation that he's got for himself. I really appreciate you taking the time with us, spending some time on NBA Today, tolerating these two. Yeah. The best of luck. We cannot wait to watch tonight, see what happens, and then watch the NBA draft on June 23rd. Chet Holmgren, thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. Still to come, LeBron. He set Twitter ablaze with who he would choose as a teammate to take on Michael and Scottie. We're talking 2-on-2 for the ages. That's next. I'd take Perk over Richard.
Yeah, but Lakers, bro.
I'd take Chet.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Welcome back to NBA Today, live from Chicago. I'm Malika Andrews, and anybody that knows me knows that I love musicals. I love Rent. I love Hamilton. I love the song, The Room Where It Happens. And you might think that this is actually the room where the draft lottery happens. That's not exactly the case, so please bear with me. Please bear with me and allow me to channel my inner Lin-Manuel Miranda, because no one really knows how the game is played, the art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. You just assume that it happens, but no one else is in the room where it happens, except Zach Lowe.
This big fancy room is where the world will find out which NBA team gets the single most valuable asset in basketball, the number one pick in the 2022 draft. But about 2 hours earlier, the real lottery unfolds in a secret drawing room in front of about 20 or 25 lucky people who get to watch the real ping pong balls, the real show, the real moment when one NBA franchise, at least one, will change forever. And it all happens behind these curtains. Very exciting stuff. The actual lottery drawing takes only a few minutes. 14 insanely talented, brilliant people, one from each team, will be sitting in these seats watching this machine determine the fate of multiple NBA franchises by spitting out ping pong balls that are sealed. In this case, this is a sealed case. You can't open this until the actual lottery. Every team has a certain amount of 1,001 four-number combinations. The enthusiasm of that moment when those four magic numbers have changed your franchise forever. For their chance at a Tim Duncan, a LeBron James, a Zion Williamson to change their teams forever. That's what's happening tonight. If that machine fails, the NBA has got a backup machine. That's right, a backup is here. If the power goes out, the NBA has a backup plan for that too. What is it? It's this basketball with a hole cut out of the top. That's right, we're going old school, baby. Drop the ping pong balls in here, pluck them out, and determine the first four picks that way. The NBA lottery, you have to love it. It's a little bit silly, but it is massively, massively important for the 14 teams in this room tonight and the rest of the league.
All right, so with the new format, the three worst teams have an equal 14% chance to get the top pick in the lottery this year. That's the Rockets, the Magic, and the Pistons. But today, the Thunder, they also have a 14% chance when you combine their own odds with the pick they acquired from the Paul George trade. All right, so here with Woj, Perk, Richard, and Zach to talk a little bit of lottery. And Woj, I want to start with you. Who has the most at stake tonight?
The Oklahoma City Thunder. Listen, they undertook this, you know, entire rebuild with the idea of accumulating as many first-round picks as they could to get a chance to get a franchise player. They've got 17 more first-round picks over the next 5 years. They've got a 48% chance tonight to get into the top four. And listen, they got a very good player in Josh Giddey last year. They've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's their point guard, on a max deal, all-star level player. But they're trying to get their next Kevin Durant, their next James Harden. They have not picked in the top four since they picked Harden. And they found out last year it is difficult, no matter how many picks you have, if you're at five or six or seven, to trade up to three or two. Those teams don't typically trade out. I think for Oklahoma City tonight, the chance to get at a Chet Holmgren potentially. Listen, this is what they put in, gotten all these assets together for, and they'll see if it can pay off tonight and finally crack perhaps maybe the top four, top three, or of course, can they get to number one?
Can they get to the number one pick? Because they are one of just seven franchises that has not had a number one pick. Zach Lowe, who is piquing your interest tonight?
I thought this whole segment was going to be an analysis of the singing. I thought that's what this was, was going to be.
Certain things you just act like didn't happen, bro.
I told you guys I needed to apologize because I can't sing. If there was any skill that I wish I had, like,
you know what? You know what, though?
Any skill we wish you had was singing.
But no one else is in the room where it happens. All right, go.
You tried hard. I'm going to go with Portland because they're trying to thread this needle with Damian Lillard of we're rebuilding. We did a couple of trades at the deadline last year, veterans for picks. Don't think they got quite enough in those trades, but they got something. They could have major cap flexibility this summer, whether it's cap room or a big trade exception that they have. And they're right in the middle of the lottery where the odds changes from a few years ago really helped those teams in the middle. They have a chance to move up. And if they move up in the top three or four, their offseason and their future both get really, really interesting.
Yeah, Perk, which team would you like to see win?
H-Town, Houston Rockets. You know why? Like, getting, you know, since the trade of James Harden, getting back picks, they acquired, they drafted Jalen Green last year. I thought he ended the season well. I want to see them get another draft pick and build from the draft from the ground up. I think they got a nice young core. I love what Coach Silas is bringing to the table. Now the fans are starting to rally behind them. So I want to see H-Town get them another high pick in a draft, hopefully the number one pick, and get Chet.
Well, and if they don't get the number one pick, then you will never be satisfied. Oh. I'm going to stop with him.
It's still happening. It's still going.
Richard, go ahead.
Okay, so I really don't care about any of these teams. Can I finish?
You don't know how much he loves the lottery.
That's like, not nice. It's not nice.
When I say this is that all of these teams, even if they get the number one pick, are going to be a ways away. I like those 10 to like 13, 14.
Interesting.
Because I like those teams from the standpoint of like Cleveland, right? Cleveland has a young core. They got Mobley. They got Garland. They got Jared Allen. If they can find another player, a good wing player that can contribute to what they're doing, and I would even put like a Charlotte. If like a Charlotte had, you know, if they could find another player, because it becomes hard. We talk about OKC and all the draft picks that they got. Well, don't forget they drafted Serge Ibaka late in the first round. You can add a player to these top picks that, like, somewhere between 10 and 15 that all of a sudden just fits in perfect. You know, there's guys like Donovan Mitchell. There's guys that that can go later in that
Jimmy
first
Butler,
round.
Jimmy Butler, 30th pick in 2011.
So when I look at that, there is that 10 to 20 range that if a team can get right there, and that could be that last player that kind of throws them over the edge or fits a need.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tonight it's a big night for the NBA on ESPN. NBA Countdown tips off at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, followed by the NBA Draft Lottery. Then it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Everything is also streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere. The NBA said it's in the process of gathering more information after Rajon Rondo allegedly threatened a woman and brandished a gun at her house last week in Louisville while two children were present. The woman was granted an emergency protective order against Rondo on Friday, a copy of which was obtained by ESPN's Baxter Holmes. And the woman said that in the order, she feared for the safety of her children and that Rondo has a history of, quote, volatile, erratic, explosive behavior. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds. So that's MJ. And speaking of, LeBron had a Q&A on Twitter yesterday, and one of the questions was, who would he pick as a teammate for 2-on-2 in a game against Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen? And LeBron channeled his inner Chene when he said three players, Kobe, KD, or Kyrie. So he pulled a Chene. I don't really want you to pull a Chene and not answer the question. Perk, you're not afraid to answer questions. Who's the perfect teammate for LeBron to go 2-on-2 versus MJ and Scottie?
Oh, Kobe Bryant. That would be must-see TV. That would be epic, right? You got LeBron going at Pippen, him and Pippen going at each other, and Kobe and MJ. I don't think it's a better 2-on-2 out there.
Yeah, you know.
You?
Yeah, wow. I'm mad he didn't pick me, to tell you the truth. Like, of all the verses, you know, like, he didn't say which version. They're not talking about 2016 Kobe. They're talking about prime Kobe. Like, prime me. I'm surprised he didn't pick you.
I wouldn't pick you.
I wouldn't either. Like, I wouldn't pick me either. But, yeah, I think Kobe's the right answer. Like, with all due respect to Kyrie and his offensive
no
firepower.
Disrespect. No disrespect.
That's a loaded game right there. And KD, I don't know defensively if they want that action. So, yeah, yeah. Kobe and MJ are clones.
Before the producers even told me the three names that LeBron mentioned as his Pippen MJ opponents, the first name that came into my head was, give me the 7-foot dude who can shoot over everybody and has a good enough handle and plays good defense, and that's Kevin Durant. The first name I thought of. So I'm going KD. Give me that guy. He gets shot off wherever he wants to.
The KD we just saw get swell.
Whatever KD you want.
I'm just saying,
that's a bunch of lines you putting them in the cage with.
our producer, we're remote, and so it's hard to hear literally anything other than the sound of the U2 talking. But our producers say we need to take a listen to something real quick.
Oh.
No one really knows how the game is played. The art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. You just assume that it happens. But no one else is in the room where it happens.
No.
What did they say to you to get you to sell New York City down the river?
Where you going?
The effort.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.